Well, it's not a lot of us in here, but we're just going to unload all the barrels of love on you. How's that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Anyway, yes, and being obedient. You're right. The Lord taught me about that, the importance of just being obedient. It was several years ago. I went to go preach a message at a church. And that morning when I got up, the Lord gave me a scripture. Then on my way to the church, I heard the scripture on the radio. And when I got there, he told me again to preach that word, to bring that scripture. But I had already studied and had like a 3 or 4 page message ready to go. And I got in there and I was just shaking right before it was time to get up because I knew what I was supposed to do. But I was scared because I didn't have a message ready on that. So I just said, okay, Lord, I'll just get up and I will read this scripture. And then what happens will happen. And when I read the scripture, it was like rhema word just opened up. And the Spirit of God just poured out. I preached a good 45 minutes or 50 minutes on that scripture. And it led from one thing to another. And it was just listening to God, hearing what he had to say. And it was exactly what that church needed for that day. And when I got out to my car, I said, oh, Lord, I remember putting my head down on my steering wheel. I said, I don't like it when that happens, but I'm so thankful you showed up and you filled my mouth and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And this is a lesson I'll never forget. He said, Tammy, I don't need your prepared sermons. I need your obedience. Ooh. Anyway, well, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for gathering us here together today. And Father God, we pray that your word and the meat of it, Lord, will prick our hearts, prick our spirit, prick our minds, Father God. Lord Jesus, that you will give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, that you will give us teachable spirit, Father God. Lord, that you will remove the scales from our eyes, Father. Let us see you, hear you, and feel you correctly and clearly. And Lord, we thank you for bringing us here, and we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, Live to Love is the workshop that I'll be teaching on today. And the scripture that Nancy gave me was our Romans 12 through 16. It says, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. How many times is it hard to be patient when you're in trouble? You're wanting to do what your flesh wants to do. You want to help yourself get out of a mess. You're wanting to get yourself to the other side. But he says, be patient in trouble. And how many knows patience when lots of times it's brought forth by long suffering. It's brought forth by those trials and hard times. We keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Oh, that's a hard one sometimes. Most times, all the time. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other and don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people and don't think you know it all. Amen. I think it's important that we learn to enjoy the company of ordinary people, to enjoy the company with those that we may not think that have something we want or we desire or we need. I mean, we've become a society of looking at what is in it for me many times. We look at situations, well, if I do this or this, what's in it for me? It's kind of like what Nancy was talking about last night, the situation where you've got the poor, you know, single mother that's in the church and maybe your kids are dirty and nobody's there to help her, but then they see the pastor's daughter and maybe she had 3 kids out of wedlock and they're all just praying for her and they want to help her and get her through this. You know, love has no blinders on it. Love sees through every situation. Love needs to go past what we can see with our natural eyes because love should see in the spiritual realm. Love sees through the eyes of Jesus. And one of the things, and this is where the Lord had changed this message around for me, and that was out of Mark 12, 28, 34, that this was going to be the most important thing. I've written down my scriptures that we hear out of this. And it's basically, we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves. So most of the teachers of religious law was standing, and this is Mark 12, 28 through 34. You can write that down. And I'll be reading out the New Living Translation. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" And Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord with all love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength." So he's saying everything within you that you have. It's the number one commandment. We are to love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. The secondly, he said, listen to this, is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. So does that mean I'm to love my neighbor with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength? I've never thought about it like that. But when you break that down, you must love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, your mind, and your strength. And as equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. No other commandment. So we're to love God, we're to love ourselves, we're to love our neighbor. The teachers of religious law replied, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other. And I know it is important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding and all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. This is more important than to offer all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in law." So, you know, you may be saying, "Well, look, God, I gave this up for you, and I gave that up for you, and look what I'm willing to sacrifice." But God's saying, "But have you loved your brother? Have you loved me? Have you loved yourself? Do you see what I see in you?" And that's what he's saying. And so he says, the most important thing to offer than all of these burnt offerings, all of these sacrifices, all of this, is to know that we love. And realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared ask any more questions. Wow. To think we're not far from the kingdom of God when we understand God's love. And Jesus, he makes it very clear that loving ourselves, it's a foundation upon which higher love is built. How many can admit that there's been times it's been hard to love yourself? It's been hard. And why is it hard sometimes to love ourselves? Lots of times it could be because of our childhood. Maybe the way we were raised, the things that people have said, the things they've said to us, the things that maybe people have done to us. It could come from a low self-esteem. Sometimes it can also come from, you know, well, it's I'm humble, so I only love other people. I don't love myself because that's arrogant. And that's not what the word teaches. We need to love ourselves because that is where the foundation will be built. All higher love is going to be built from the foundation of where love will start with yourself. And that's that God's love for you in you. And so when you have him in you and you have that foundation of Christ, and then you partake with that love that he has for you, then you can start building off of that. And then that's where that love is just starts bubbling up out of you, starts spilling out of you, and people get around you, and they're like, whoa, every time I'm around Nancy, I just feel the Spirit of God. I feel how much she loves people. Oh, I feel Judy's heart when she's around. You know, others can feel our love. They can feel if you love them, if you're sincere, if you're real. And so we need to build a foundation of love. And if you have love for yourself, then you're more likely to be, if you have love for yourself, you're more likely to love others, and you're more likely to love God. But if you hate yourself, you're more likely not to love others, and you're more likely to despise God. And we can see that in our society. If you look at prisons, many prisons are full of people who do some of the most horrendous crimes that are out there. And they will tell you they hate themselves. Many of them want to die themselves. They wish they had committed suicide, and that's why many prisons, they have to have suicide watch all the time. That's why a lot of prisoners, they're not allowed to have a lot of things, because they're afraid that they'll hang themselves, or they'll harm themselves, or they'll do different things, or they'll take those items and do that to somebody else. But a lot of people, they just don't have love for themselves. And when they don't have love for themselves, it's a lot easier to harm those around them and to come against mankind, God's creation. And it's a lot easier to despise God when you don't have love for yourself. Amen? Amen. So if you hate yourself, then you're more likely not to love God, and to despise him and others. And we're not to ever think that loving ourselves is selfish or self-centered or arrogant. You know why? It's because we need to love the things that Jesus loves. Amen? Amen? Think about that. Everything that Jesus came for and what he did, he came to lay his life down for us. Looking for a pen. He came to lay his life down for us. And so we must love the things that he loves. So when he came and he died on the cross and he suffered a cruel death and everything that he went for, he looked through time. Imagine, clear back, almost 2,000 years ago, he looked through time and he saw you. He saw you. And he said, hey, I'm going to take this for Carol. What I'm going to do on this cross, I'm going to take this for Shirley. Jesus said he was going to take that for us. Why? Because he loved us. Everything that he came for was out of love. He loved us. And the Father loved us so much, he says, I want to bring you back to myself. But to bring you to this place, I need to send my son. And he sent his son to die that cruel death, that not just the Jew would be saved, but the Gentile could be saved, that we would be grafted into the family of God. And all the love that God had, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit interwoven came together for you and for me. And so we have to love what Jesus loves. Jesus came, and he came for us. And when we look at, who am I? I'm Tammy. Jesus loves me? Yes, he loves me. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. Amen? Amen. He died on the cross for me that I might be set free. And there was a time in my life I was not so crazy about me. And I did have that very low self-esteem. I suffered a lot of things as a child, went through some horrendous hardships, an alcoholic father, and different things like that happened in my childhood. And I went through a time of really thinking, am I really lovable? And it took, once I got saved and turned my life over to God, I was 18 years old, 19 years old, and it really took probably a good full year maybe a little longer to realize that Jesus really loved me. He really loved me. With all my faults, with all my weaknesses, with all my humanity, you know, he loved me. And once I was able to grasp hold of Jesus' love for me, something just clicked inside of me. And I've preached messages about this. You know, I felt like I was always in a box. And once I started realizing the love of Christ, and he really set me free, it was like I started getting out of that box. And I started becoming the person who God had called me to be and who he wanted me to be. And so going through different situations, you know, all of us can look at our lives and say, you know, I've gone through those hard times. It has been difficult. And you get to the other side of it and you just look back. And it's like you can see the fingerprints of God all over your life. And know that he loves you and he's with you. Sorry, it's warm in here. But anyway, so we must love the things that Jesus loves, and he loves us. You know what? He didn't make junk. He didn't make junk. What's the word of God says? It says, you were beautifully and wonderfully made. See, he knitted you together in your mother's womb. He knew you before you was even created. You know, if you come out of anything with this live to love, I want you to come out with knowing how to truly, truly love yourself. Because when you do, then you're going to love others. Amen? Because you can't truly love others unless you love the first thing that God made with you, and that was you. Amen? And becoming comfortable and confident with that person that God's made. And God's made us all different. He's made us different. And we have to celebrate our differences, celebrate who we are as individuals. You know, God didn't call me to be Carol, and he didn't call Carol to be Tammy. Amen? Amen. I think about, and I just recently preached a message about this, is when David went in to fight a battle, Saul was like, here, David, put on my armor. And he tried to put his armor on it, and David was looking at, you know, he's just a boy. And here was this big man, the king wanted him to wear his armor to go fight the big Philistine. And he was like, I can't, that's not what I know. What did David want to fight with? He wanted to fight with what he knew. He knew who he was. He knew who his God was. He knew what God called him to be. He said, you know what? This stone and this sling, I've gone out and I've been able to take down the lion, and I've been able to take down the bear, and I've killed him with this, and I've been able to wrestle him with my own hands. And he saw that, and he knew what he could do with him and his God. But he never tried to put on something that wasn't him. And see, sometimes we get messed up when we're trying to figure out who we are, and we try to start walking in everybody else's anointing and somebody else's armor, and it doesn't fit, and it just doesn't function and work right with us. But when we get into who God has created us to be, and we start walking in the authority and the anointing and who we are, then all of a sudden everything starts to click together. And we start being a real person, the divine person, and the person reaching the destiny that God has created. Amen? Amen? See, God has created destiny for each and every one of us. You have purpose. You have destiny. You have calling in your life. Today's not it, Carol. What you're doing today isn't it. Isn't that the awesome thing about God? It's to know that he loves me so much that what I'm going through today and what I'm walking through today isn't it. Because he has something greater for me tomorrow. Amen? It's always exciting with Jesus because it's like a roller coaster ride. You get up on that one hill, you're like, woo! And you're going down that side, and guess what? There's another one, and it's liable to be more exciting because it's going to have a loop-de-loop or a corkscrew in it. It's fun with God. But it's when we get in to knowing who we are, loving who we are, who God's created us to be, and we start walking in that, and guess what? Walking in love just becomes natural to us. It becomes natural because we're no longer questioning who we are. Well, I don't know if I can talk to that person or not. And I really don't know if I can reach out to that person or not because I don't know if they like me or not. I don't care if they like me. Jesus likes me. Amen? Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, we don't know what we are worth to God when we have emptiness in us. Oh. See, that becomes like a void in our life. If we have anything that's empty within us, or if we don't truly know the love of God, and I know you've seen this in the world, people will have that void, and all of a sudden they'll try to start filling it with other things. They have the void of Christ in their lives, and they don't know. They're like, I don't know. I feel like I'm a big puzzle, but there's a piece of the puzzle missing, and I don't know what it is. It's Jesus. And when we don't find that love in ourselves and the love for ourselves and Christ within us, then it's hard for us to know him, and then we start feeling like, there's this void. There's something I'm searching for. I don't know what it is. Have you ever seen somebody who was real young and it's like, they're like, if I could just find the right man, you know, you see a young girl, if I could just find the right man, I'm going to be happy. I'll just be happy if I find the right man. And then they find a man and they get married and now they're just, that lasts for a while. And then they start slipping down that slope again. And they're like, well, gee, if we could just find a better place to live. You know, we've been in this cramped apartment or this, you know, this little small place. And if we could just find a better place to live, and then everything will come together and I'll be happy. And they get that place and they work for it and work for it because the husband's thinking, Lord, have mercy, I can't keep this woman happy. And so he's working real hard too. And it could be the opposite way around. And they finally get the house and it's bigger and it's beautiful. And all of a sudden it looks like they got everything. And then, you know, a time goes by and the newness wears off and all that's gone. And they're like, just there's something missing. If we could just have kids. That's what we need. If we just had a family, if I had a family, then I would be happy. And so time will go by and I'll have that family. And then next thing you know, they're raising two or three kids and they're struggling with everything and trying to keep it all together. And they're looking at their life and they're still missing it all and feeling like there's a void and they don't know why. And because if we don't have Christ in the center of it all, and we don't love ourselves, we're never going to appreciate anything else we see around us. Amen? Amen? Because you can't be happy with anything else or anybody else until you're happy with you. Amen? Amen? You know, I look at my marriage and beginning years when my husband and I first got married. Oh, I had little bouts of anger and outburst. Ooh, I was a stinker sometimes. I'm sure I'm the only one in here that was ever like that, right? And I could just be a little stinker. And you know, it just took a lot of healing in my life because of things of my past experiences. And Jesus had to heal a lot of areas. And every time he'd heal another area, you know, it's like I just became a little bit closer to him. And I had a little bit more peace with myself and could start walking a little bit more in who he created me to be. And I can't say I'm all there today and I'm all that today. But you know what? I'm a lot closer today than I was 20, 25, 30 years ago. Amen? See, God is doing a work. We're all a work in progress. And so he wants us to be happy and not be trying to fill the void. And then there's other things that people will do to try to show value in themselves and self-worth. Maybe they'll be jockeying for position. You know, well, let me get this position or that position. That'll impress people. And they're constantly jockeying for position. You know what? I've come to the place, especially in ministry or anything that I do, God will have me where he wants me. God's in the driver's seat. I'm a passenger in his car. If he wants me in the front seat beside him, I'll ride there. If he wants me in the back seat, I'll ride back there. If he wants me in the trunk, I'll ride in the trunk for a while. I'm just happy to be along for this ride. Amen. Amen? And that's when we can find the peace with that. You know what? That alleviates all this jockeying for position. It alleviates jealousies and backbiting and all of that. We're just all in this together, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord going forward for the same cause. Amen? And so we're not trying to find our self-worth by position, by education. You know people like that? They're trying to find self-worth and their value by education, trying to fill this void in their life with a job. And if that doesn't impress, maybe we'll try to find value in things that we own, like cars, jewelry, houses, boats, the things that, you know, maybe we belong to, like maybe I belong to the country club. Or you ever talk to people like that? They talk, and they're all about, oh, I went here and, you know, I dined with the president of this or that. And they belong to this elite group or that and this. And they talk a lot, but underneath that is an emptiness and a hollowness, and you can see it. And you're like, Lord, they're searching for all of these things to fill that spot in them, and it's you all along. It's your love. It's your love. Hallelujah. Some people go on like these big vacations and want to talk about those. And, you know, and all of this together, there's nothing wrong with any of these things. There's nothing wrong with being in the country club, or there's nothing wrong taking these big vacations. I take a beach vacation normally every year with my family. I'm not doing it trying to impress you. I go and I take Jesus with me. Amen. Yeah. And so there's nothing wrong with any of those things. There's nothing wrong with accomplishments. There's nothing wrong with having positions. See, Jesus wants to bless us with those things. His favor, you know, I want his favor for my life. And Nancy had mentioned that last night. I pray over my children every night when they go to bed. I lay my hands on them. I pray for the hedge of protection of Christ round and about them at all times. I pray for the favor of God to be upon their life. I pray that God blesses them. And I pray that they will love and serve God all the days of their life, and they will never depart from him. You know, I have my prayers, I say, over them every night. And so God wants us to walk in blessing. I think God's people ought to be the most blessed people out there. Amen. We ought to be walking in the good things of God. But if we begin to question how beautifully and wonderfully made we are, that's when we start running into problems. And we need to know and get it down deep in us that we have been beautifully, wonderfully made. Do you know when he says, I know the numbers on your head? That means even every number of the beard hairs sticking in your face. Isn't that amazing? He even, I'm not talking about you, Judy. I'm talking about him. You're funny. And so, but he knows, you know, he knows how many eyebrows, how many hairs are sticking in our eyelashes. He knows how many hairs are in our ears. He knows all of it. See, he numbers those. And what does Psalms, I think it's in Psalms, doesn't it say that his thoughts are on us are even more than the sands on the beaches and the oceans? I can't imagine. You know, I can go to the beach and just scoop up one handful of sand, and if I had to sit there and count each grain of that sand, I would be like, oh my. But his thoughts upon me are more than all those grains of sand. Upon you is more than all those grains of sand. Isn't that awesome? Wow, that's a big God.
Amen.
That is a big God. Hallelujah. How precious and loved we are to Jesus, that when we find the need to boast in the things of this world, and when we try to have that need to try to fill that void, he's always standing right there and saying, I'm waiting. Just take me. Just boast in me for a while because I love you. And now, do you have it down in your spirit what I'm talking about? How much he loves you? How important it is for you to love who Jesus loves? And now when we grasp hold of who Jesus loves and we love what Jesus loves, say, I love me.
I love me.
And it's okay.
And it's okay.
See, when we know who we are in Jesus, we can be with the, it's like you can be the richest of the richest of people around, or you could be the poorest of persons around, and somehow you just find joy in that. And you're still happy in it. No matter your position or where God has you, you're okay with it because you know who you are in God and you love yourself and you love him and there's no void there because it's all filled up with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. When we truly grasp hold of this, then we can become the person who God has created us to be, and we can get it down in us and understand when God says, now see, in telling you all of this, why you need to love yourself as God loves you, I want you to get a hold of this, because that's when he comes in and says, now, Shirley, I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, love your neighbor as yourself. So all those things I just said about you, and how you're supposed to love you the way God loves you. Now he's saying, I want you to love your neighbor that way. Love your neighbor that way. Who's our neighbor? It could be your neighbor next door. It could be a person you work with. In the Greek and Hebrew, it even says it could be your spouse. I mean, I gotta love my husband like that. He says, yeah, you gotta love your husband as you love yourself. You gotta love your neighbor as you love yourself. Even if they play loud music to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and they drive you nuts and their kids are ripping up your yard and their dog comes over and does its duty you do in your yard. You gotta love them as yourself. Because you know what's gonna change this world? Love. Love's gonna change this world. Love's gonna make a difference. So when we learn to love God, we learn to love ourselves, and right there's where love, the whole foundation of it is built, and we build up on that, and then it can start going out, and we can start loving our neighbors as ourselves. And when we can love our neighbor as ourselves, that's when we see salvation starting to happen. That's when we see change making breakthroughs in people's lives. You know, we don't want to be overly judgmental. I just had a situation. I just prayed for somebody who's been battling with a habit. And this habit really gets them down. And I prayed for them. And when I got done praying for them, I said, look, I love you, and I'm going to be praying for you. I don't like this habit, but I'm not going to judge you for it. I'm going to believe God for you and with you and pray this thing off of you. You know what that is? That's love. That's love. And that's the place we got to get. It's where we start looking at people in the world around us and think, God, how can I love them? He says, love them how I would love them. Love them how I love you. And when we can do that, then we can start taking off all these religious blinders that we put up all over our faces and we try to look down our nose and we start ripping all that off and we just start saying, this is God's creation and they need Jesus. Amen. Amen. And we get past the junk and we start seeing humanity and we start seeing hearts, because I really, truly believe that we are at the time that Jesus is so close to coming to take his children home. that we need to be soul winners more than ever. And to become a soul winner means we need to love. And in the end, I love this sign that was given to me. Love wins. Love wins. See, I got to hear a saying this morning. It said, heaven always wins. And I love that. And I love this. Love wins. Amen? Amen. Love wins. Because in the end, what else matters but love? Amen. You can have all the riches in the world, but if you have no love in your life and it's empty,
that's right.
It's not worth anything. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, we all fall short, and we all fall short of the glory of God, and we need him. See, he brings the words of eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
So Romans 12:2 says, tell us that we are transformed. It tells us that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. Think about that. So when we can't understand how can God really love me? How can I really love my neighbor? How can I really love me? He says, you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do we do that? Is that a once a year thing? We do it daily. We do it daily. Every day. Lord, renew my mind. Transform my mind. Renew me. See, we use the word to transform our lives. And it is love that will cause us to share the word to transform other lives. So his word transforms our lives. And in turn, it's almost like it's the best pyramid system out there. Jesus is at the top, and he teaches us how to transform our lives, how to love him, accept him, to get all those changes in place. And next thing you know, we're just sharing the same thing that Jesus showed us or somebody shared with us, and we share it with Betty Sue next door. Next thing you know, Betty Sue's life, it's transformed and changed, and now she's sharing it with Sally Joe that lives on down the road, and next thing you know, Sally Joe's got a change, and Billy Bob, see, we're living in the hills here. Billy Bob and Jim Bob. But you understand what I'm saying. It's like a snowball effect. Hallelujah. The world tries at times to call us haters, but love is our battle cry. You know why love is our battle cry? Because love is truth, and truth is our battle cry. Why does the world call us haters sometimes? It's because we don't agree with everything that the world may say. You know, our government say, well, we're putting this law into place and we're doing this and this, da, da, da. And we may not agree with something, but that does not make us a hater. You know what? When you teach the truth of God's word, then it comes out in such a way. And the truth of God's word, that's what will bring change in people's lives. Amen? And so when we bring forth truth, truth is love. And see, what does truth do? When truth comes into us, what did it do? It set us free. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. So when we love our neighbor as ourselves, we share love, we share truth, and truth is what changes lives. And truth is never and should never be considered hate. Amen? Amen. You know, somebody has to be willing to speak the truth of God's word. And guess what? He chose us. He chose us to speak his truth. Amen. Galatians 5:22 through 23 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, and listen, that's the first one. Love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. You know how I like to look at that? almost when I look at those fruits, see those, he's saying we should operate in these things. He didn't say, okay, I just only want you to operate in kindness, but not goodness, just kindness. No, he says, I want you to operate in these fruits. But when I look at the fruit of the Spirit, and I look at the very first one mentioned, love, I always thought of it, it's like the hub in a tire. It's like, and Jesus, he's in the middle, the hub of that tire. And if you, we could just have a big little circle here and write love in it. And then all around the outside, we put joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we have all of those operating. And we just take a string from love and we attach it to each one of those. Are you following me in your imagination here? And we take a string from that little hub of love and we attach it to each one of those. And we operate in it. If any time, if that string comes detached from love, we got a problem. How do I show kindness without love? How do I have goodness without love? How am I doing any of the fruits of the Spirit operating in any of them without love? See, I need Jesus to be the center of it all at all times. He needs to be the hub right in the center of my life working. And everything that I do should revolve around that love of Christ. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Am I about? All right. Need me to start wrapping it up?
Yeah.
Okay. I also want to read real quick because I just, the love chapter, it would be crazy if we didn't read a love chapter. Love is the greatest. If I could speak of all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't have love, and if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient. Oh, I love this. And love is kind. Love is not jealous, having outbursts of anger like some of us have in the past. It's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. You know, we always ought to be looking, how can I better serve other people? How can I help others, especially our husbands or our wives? How can I better serve them? Not getting cranky with each other and irritable and You know, what I don't want to be known by my husband is a nag. I don't want to be that old hag. I don't want, please, oh God, don't let my husband ever say that about me. I want him to know that I'm there for him. Well, and my home ought to be the safe haven. When he comes home, I want my home to be a safe haven. And when he comes home, I don't want him to feel like after he's worked hard all day long, that he's got to come home. And now he's thinking, I need to run back to work. And when he comes home, I want him to know, this is your home, it's your place of safety, and I want to build you up here. Amen? Now, that didn't happen overnight. So love's not irritable. It keeps no record of wrong, of being wronged. How many times do we see that? Everybody keeps a record. You know, I know what you did wrong to me. It does not rejoice about injustice, but it rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful and it endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part. I love that. Only the gift of prophecy, everything that we hear here right now in prophecy only reveals part of the whole picture, because sometimes when prophecy comes, my mind is blown. I'm like, wow. But that's just, it's like thinking of the verse, no eye has seen, no ear hath heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Wow. We're only seeing and knowing part of all of it right now. And that's the same way with love. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. And when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. See, we're striving and everything to know him so much and try to get a grasp of all of it. But no matter what, and we may wrestle with some misunderstandings at times or not sure or we don't have the knowledge of something, but God already has everything within us. His destiny is there. His love is in there. It's complete. His love for us is complete. Because it was finished at the cross. Amen? It was finished at the cross. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with Revelation 8:38. And I could not get away without bringing this out because it is one of my favorite. 38 and 39 says, I am convinced that nothing, I love that, can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life. Neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing, in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. His love. It's all knowing, it's all consuming, it's all powerful. His love. Hallelujah. Nancy. Amen.